Good evening, everybody. It is the Monday, February 6th, 2017 meeting of the Ferndale City Council. Would you rise with me for the salute of our flag? And our City Communications Officer, Riley Sweeney, will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. You may be seated. Our City Clerk, Susan Duncan, will now conduct the roll call.
Councilmember Czar. Here. Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Watson.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
All present and accounted for. At this time in our meeting, we have what's called public comment. Since we have some new people, let me give instruction. This is a time when you can come up and talk to the Ferndale City Council about anything that's on your mind. If it's not on the agenda, if it's on the agenda, your topic, you might just be better to wait till that part of the meeting comes along. There are agendas up front. When you come up, you have 3 minutes. We just ask that you introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and we will open up the public comment now. Any takers tonight? There you go. Seeing none, we will close public comment, and we will now go on to the consent agenda. Council, you're preference tonight. Councilmember Watson.
Mr. Chairman, can we pull off the Mariana's final plat? I understand that the applicant is here and he would like to speak to us about it.
We sure can. Let's make that right before ADU so he can get out of here. So I guess that would be E1. It's okay with council? Other than that?
Thank you.
Motion for the rest of the agenda?
I make the motion we approve the
second
consent.
So moved by Councilmember Birch and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to adopt the consent agenda as modified. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The consent agenda has been adopted. Well, this is sort of a fun part for the City of Ferndale to welcome and introduce a new chief of police. Before he comes up, I'll say a few things about Chief Turner. He brings with him over 20 years of law enforcement experience. He has a bachelor's of science in psychology and sociology and a master's in criminal science. He was recognized as the Police Chief of the Year by the Utah Chiefs of Police Association. He was well-beloved in his city of Grantsville. I called just about everybody in Grantsville looking for something negative, bad about him, somebody to say something about him that I could not like. Couldn't find a thing. They loved him very much. Most importantly, he is the husband of Nikki and proud father of three kids, Bailey, Alex, and Luke. We would like to welcome our new Chief of Police, Kevin Turner, come up and greet us and welcome us today.
Well, after that introduction, it sounds like I owe a lot of people a lot of money. I just appreciate the warm welcome I've had so far. Today's my first day, and I've been jumping in trying to meet everybody. And first day as City Council also, so I appreciate you letting me be here tonight, and thank you for welcoming me to your community. I look forward to working with the City and the Police Department and getting to know everybody and jumping in with both feet and seeing what we can do to stir things up a little bit, but also make things great. So again, I appreciate your time. I moved here just, I came in Sunday. I got delayed with the weather a little bit. And left my wife and beautiful three kids behind. But with technology, we've been able to keep in touch through FaceTime and other things. And must be meant to be. My house sold very quickly in Grantsville, so we'll be doing some house hunting here. So any tips or info from anybody would be appreciated. And again, I thank you for your time and welcoming me to the great city of Ferndale. Thank you.
Welcome, Chief. I'm glad to have you. Moving on now, we're going to delete item D. You may have heard that earlier. The Transpo people cannot be here. So there is no item D, which is Transpo's report on our traffic lights. We will reschedule that. At this time, we have a report from the Heritage Society. I think I heard that Linda Halkerode would be here, but I'm looking.
She called me and said she was not going to make it.
Okay.
She was wondering if anybody else was going to come. Anyway.
Is there anybody here from the Heritage Society that wanted to share the report?
There is a report here.
Did Riley, did they drop off the report?
They did.
They did.
And
it is,
So you have that report in front of you, but the leadership of the Heritage Society is certainly welcome to come to a council meeting. We'll let them know that.
Right. I told them to come in 2 weeks if they could, but I have one addition to add to their letter. We do have volunteer hours that they wanted to share with everybody, and they had 3,854 volunteer recorded hours for 2016.
Way to go.
Thank you. That does not include the people that don't bother writing down their hours.
Great. Thank you, Council Member. Moving on, we will now go to the Mariana final plat, and I think I'll hand this over to Mr. Burnett.
Well, and as the Chief said, technology is sometimes really wonderful. So in the 40 seconds since it got pulled off of the agenda, we've consulted with the applicant, and he is okay with the condition number 4, stating that the storm vault shall be screened from view prior to occupancy of lots 2 through 6 of Mariana's long plat. So looking at the applicant. So.
Your telepathy is amazing.
Yes, indeed. I don't know if we need the applicant to come forward. It's up to council if they have questions. Otherwise, okay with you? Council, we're looking for your direction tonight. Council Member Watson.
Move to approve the final plat for Mariana's.
Second.
It was moved by Council Member Watson, seconded by Council Member Hansen to approve the Mariana plat. Discussion, questions from the City Council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The plat has passed, and good luck to you, Ms. Ramon. Hope you have a success out there. Ramon, I should say. Moving on to a public hearing, and looking for direction from Mr. Burnett. The public hearing is just on the ordinance itself. The fee code comes afterwards as a separate measure?
That is correct. Should the council approve the first item, then we can go to the fee code. If they do not move forward with the first item, then we will delay the fee code discussion as well.
Mr. Burnett, you're on deck.
And I would send it over to our associate planner, Haley Miller.
Indeed. My apologies. Ms. Miller, you're on deck.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. So tonight we're bringing forward to you a zoning text amendment for accessory dwelling units, and we've covered this topic before with Council and discussed the main issues at Council Committee, and these are the main topics we've been discussing so far. And at Council Committee, we discussed the size limitations on ADUs, and Council Member Taylor brought up the forward-facing entrances, and we've revised that to say where applicable. So the entrances don't need to necessarily face forward in the back. And then bedrooms, I had in here a maximum of 2 bedrooms, but it was brought to my attention today that it was actually discussed as 1 bedroom max, so I can revise that in this code. You have a red line version of the code document in front of you, and it looks like there's been a lot of changes to it. Sorry, you're right, skipping ahead. And it's mostly formatting. We got an email from Council Member Azar this morning, and what we did is we went through the code, and we had multiple requirements listed under detached accessory dwelling units and attached accessory dwelling units, and we combined all the similar redundancies just because some of those were the same under each. So we put those at the top. So these standards apply to all accessory dwelling units, and then we divided it into 2 sections below that, with requirements just specific to attached dwelling units and then requirements just specific to detached dwelling units. So that's why it looks red and kind of gutted, I guess, since you've last seen it. The other change I just went over was related to the entrances. And then the size limitation, this could be looked at as a policy change. This was suggested by Council Member Czar. Before, we had it as both detached and attached. The maximum size would be 800 square feet or 50% of the floor area, whichever is less. And we've changed it now to detached units having a max size of 800 square feet regardless of the size of the home. So it's limiting that single structure in the backyard, if it wasn't attached to the house, to 800 square feet. And it doesn't relate to the size of the home. So that's changed since then. But other than that, that's what we've changed, I guess, since the council meeting. Most of it's fairly straightforward. I guess the size thing is the only change that we need to talk about.
Councilmember Olson.
I see this slide says 1 bedroom, but the one we just saw had 2 bedrooms.
I think you already just changed it.
Oh, okay.
You're very electronic tonight.
trying to catch up.
Be responsive.
I got 50% right on the changes.
It's been.
Okay. So if we have a house that's 900 square feet, we could effectively put in another 800 square foot ADU? That's kind of a big game changer in what we discussed in committee, and maybe this all needs to go back because now we have another letter here from Mr. Eskridge, and now we have this. I don't know. Without a few simple things that I went through here, just page 2 is what cropped up on the two-bedroom thing, and I'm not sure how that happened, but I haven't really had a time to go through all the rest of this and see if there's anything else that jumps out at me. I guess we could take your word for it.
I can clean it
up
if you
I'm not pointing this all at you. Somehow that changed.
We did change it today, and we certainly can clean it up and make it all one color and bring it back to committee if that's what you guys want to do. There's no rush.
Do we have people here that want to talk tonight, or do we have to do that again if we bring back another one?
I believe we can open a public hearing. It can remain open for another meeting.
Okay.
Since there are people here that probably do want to talk that might not always be able to come.
Sure.
Yeah. So can we open the public hearing with your permission, Council?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to have a public hearing, and our city clerk will read the special instructions regarding public hearings.
A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the Council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you are unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name and address for the record and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group.
Thank you. We'll open up the public hearing at 6:12 and some change. And did anybody sign up before we go to the public? Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak on ADUs tonight? Mr. Eskridge, come on forward. I'm putting a clock out, but the mayor can be flexible with this, so.
I promise 2 minutes to an hour.
Fair enough.
For the record, Perry Eskridge, Government Affairs Director and Executive Officer for the Whatcom County Association of Realtors. Good to be back amongst you.
Welcome back.
I'm a little bit surprised that they changed it to the 800 square feet max for detached ADUs because I know a lot of concerns that we run into all the time on this is the appearance of a duplex and maybe the small lot size and how that's going to fit the neighborhood and character. So I don't really have any point on that, but I was a little bit surprised that was a change that just went through. You do have in front of us a letter, and I do want to restate my commendation here for the planning staff for taking on this task. We have dealt with this issue for as long as I can remember with the city of Bellingham, and they never seem to be able to get it together. Ferndale takes this on, and we've got an excellent ordinance in front of you to work from. I mean, even if you adopted it the way it was, it's still a really, really good start. Light years beyond where City of Bellingham and some of the bigger jurisdictions are. So kudos to the staff for pulling this together. I also have a personal interest in this, as you can tell. My mother-in-law lives with me. Please help me get her out.
You're on tape,
so much
you know.
Easier if I can just put something on the side of the house and get her out of my second story. What?
I could email her the tape.
That's fine. She knows. I was going to bring her here tonight so you could all see what I'm dealing with. No.
Just dig that hole.
She's a perfectly lovely woman for being my wife's mom. The two things that I wanted to point out are the things that I pointed out in the letter. The first was the entrances, and I'm sort of getting the impression, although I didn't see it, that we can put two entrances on the front of the house if it's practical. And I was showing Councilmember Watson today our plans for our ADU, which would actually be set back almost 15 feet from the front of the house and then run to the backyard and actually share the deck off the back end of our house. But the way we would do it, we were hoping, is put another front door to the ADU on that side that faces the street, because otherwise that door would face right into our neighbor's backyard. And for privacy concerns and those types of things, we thought it would be interesting. But, of course, the design we have, the porch that would be on the ADU would mirror the front porch that we have on our house or have a patio in front of it. So it's going to look like a family room or something, really, is what you'd be walking into. You'd have no idea that it was a separate apartment type of thing. And like I pointed out to some of you, you know, if you look at George Washington's home, Mount Vernon, there's three entrances on the front of that house. And so if it works for George, I think it would work for me. The other thing, though, that I wanted to point out, and it's something that I had talked to Yori and staff about before, is this issue of owner-occupied. Great provision. Love having the owner-occupied. I think it's necessary. But there is a segment of our population, namely federal employees, that I think might want to have some special consideration here. They may, and speaking as a former federal employee, there was these opportunities to have temporary assignments where you could leave for a year and go somewhere. Ours were typically in D.C. or I don't know where NASA's were or where the Border Patrol sends you, but you could go and be gone for a year, and the problem that you have is you don't really want to sell your house here, but you have to maintain a household where you're going on your temporary assignment. And so my proposal was to have that owner-occupied requirement in there, but then have it be the director's discretion to give you an exception for a period of time, a set period of time, 1 year is my proposal, and allow you then to have that flexibility that if you do have to leave temporarily, the owner-occupied requirement's not going to force you to have to sell the house here and then try and, you know, establish a household once again when you return. Some of those temporary assignments run a little bit extra, so I actually threw in a provision that, you know, again, you can apply to have it extended for one more period of another 365 days. I threw out some criteria that I thought would be useful in determining whether or not that's appropriate, including, you know, documentation from the employer, a copy of the lease agreement, rental agreement that's going to govern the house to make sure that it's only for the period of 1 year. Those types of things. It adds more work, of course, but I think it also helps ensure that it's that the owner occupancy is going to be maintained. So with that, I'd sort of open it up to questions.
Questions of this guest. Thank you, Mr. Eskridge.
Great.
Thank you.
Pass it.
Council, I'm sensing send it back to committee, but what is your pleasure?
I can make a motion. Are
we gonna, we're still open.
We have public hearing. Anyone else wish to speak on ADUs? Don't rush the mic, please.
We will close the public hearing. Not closing it. It's open. Gotcha. Thank you. A little special case here since we're going to come back. Help me finish this up then, Mr. Burnett.
If it is a desire of council to consider these changes at committee, what staff would recommend would be to keep the public hearing open until a date certain, which it would be February 21st, and to remand it back to committee, providing staff enough time to evaluate these changes and incorporate them into a staff report. The public would have the opportunity to comment on these changes on February 21st.
Or by letter before.
We are not required to re-notice the public hearing, however, as we confirmed with the city clerk earlier.
Very good. Councilmember Olson.
Did we have any attendance at this particular subject at the Planning Commission?
We didn't have.
Yes, I think they did. You had realtors.
We did have members of the realtors come to the Planning Commission meeting.
Would we need to redo that if we're going to substantially change what we've just put in here?
We don't believe that the changes that have been proposed arise to a substantial change, rather a clarification. We can discuss with the city attorney to see if she believes that these are substantive changes.
It could be.
It could.
You're right. We don't know because we haven't discussed it.
Exactly.
The one other thing that Mr. Eskridge mentioned, and I thought he wanted to have two doors on the street side. I thought that's what we wanted, unless there was special permission from you to have it somewhere else because it wouldn't fit that way. And the way I understood him saying it was like reversed. He could have his two on the street side, correct?
Right now, and I think that this is another reason why it is a good idea to remand it back to committee. I think that what you just said is what council's direction has been. I think that staff approached it initially as wanting to make sure for the 8 attached units that it did not have the appearance of a duplex with multiple doors fronting the street.
The concern was a fire life safety thing with being able to put, I do pay attention, to put addresses on both of them clearly visible from the street so that they would know these are two residences, they need to check them both if there's an issue. But yeah, I think it needs to go back to the committee and we'll sort it all out there, not here.
I would agree.
By general consent, is that the pleasure of the rest of council? Okay,
yes.
We shall do that then. Moving on to item H, Mr. Rentz, we have a Shopwell bid award to talk about.
Mr. Chairman, quick question.
The vehicle ordinance will move back to committee as well?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
You can't. You don't have a code yet to charge
that's next
yet.
On the agenda.
Just to make sure we were okay. Keeping it clean.
Please.
You're always confusing us with the screen here.
Always in 400 pages or less.
Good evening, Council. Kevin Rains, Public Works Director. Before you, we have a packet. It contains what had been presented at committees. We had 3 separate contracts, one for a construction contract for the drilling of a new shop well, second well to be located at our public works shop location to augment the water supply and increase the redundancy within the water supply. For the city, we're looking at putting in a well somewhere, it's in the entrance, basically to the back police department gate and the back gate to the public works yard. Put in a well, the intent is to explore the depth of the aquifer. The current well that's located at the shop doesn't supply enough capacity for the needs of the city. And with the only having 2 wells within the city, we need to add additional redundancy to make sure that if we have one well interrupted, that we have the ability to supply the entire city with water. The current well at the shop was not drilled to a depth that fully penetrated the aquifer or explored the complete depth of the aquifer. It was installed in the 1950s, and they basically just went down until they encountered a thick enough water-bearing layer to they said, that's good, we'll go on. So today we're looking to go further, explore the depth of the aquifer, and then continue down to see if there are other water-bearing layers below that to a maximum depth of 1,000 feet. So the initial contract is with Holt Services for the drilling of the well, and that one is for approximately $516,000, and that's with a 10% contingency. Additionally, we're looking to enter into a contract with Wilson Engineering for construction engineering services for approximately $10,000, and then with AESI, or Associated Earth Sciences Incorporated, which is the geotechnical investigation firm that the city is working with to develop the well drilling. They'll be doing the geotechnical work associated with well, looking at the soil types that we encounter in the water layers and water-bearing layers. And providing us with that geotechnical assistance, and that one's for approximately $46,000. So the total of the 3 contracts is $573,000. When we had presented this at committees, I think that the impression that I got was that there was general support for going forward with the three contracts, but it was the funding portion of it and the discussion of what utilization of funds within the water utility and the real estate excise taxes was going to be utilized to produce or to fund the well. I have put together a little bit of information looking at what are the current balances within each one of the water utility REIT 1 and REIT 2 funds. And Yuri, if you could go down to the next page, there's a little bit of a detail of what's available. So currently we're looking at the water utility new window.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe. I didn't suggest going to new window.
There you go.
Fine.
He's challenged with technology. So, within the water utility, we currently have a fund balance of approximately $1.3 million. With REIT 1, there's $97,000. And then REIT 2, we have $618,000. And as council will remember, the REIT funds, both REIT 1 and REIT 2, are the real size excise tax that is remanded back to the city on purchases of property within the municipal bounds. The REIT 1 is the first quarter percent, so a quarter percent of the sale value, and then REIT 2 is an additional quarter of a percent. Those funds have a dedicated or a list of allowable expenditures, capital expenditures, such as the well project is one of the allowable uses of those funds. With REIT 1, we have a considerable amount of debt service associated with that. So currently $225,000 of the year-end balance of the REIT 1 funds is dedicated towards debt service. And you can see down below that for REIT 1 and REIT 2, with it, they're both being a quarter of a percent, the values are the same from REIT 1 to REIT 2. So each one of those funding sources, you know, in 2016, we had $325,000 of incoming income from those, and then for 2017 we have $275,000 budgeted for the revenue within REIT 1 and REIT 2. We do have available resources within the water fund and REIT 2 in order to fund the well project. The numbers and the split that is recommended within the staff report is to utilize $400,000 of water utility funds, and you need to go back up a little bit. There we go. $400,000 worth of funds from the water utility and $175,000 worth of REIT 2 to provide the $575,000 for the entire project. It's anticipated the cost for the well will come in less than that. The well drilling, should we go to a shallower depth, we won't expend as much. The well contract is essentially on a per foot basis, and then there are contingencies worked into the well drilling contract so that if we go down and find a water bearing layer at the final depth of the well, it'll be cheaper than if we drill through a water bearing layer and go down, because we're pulling the well casing back up to produce within the current aquifer. So there's some contingencies worked within that well contract, and I'd be more than happy to explain any of those to you in detail if you had questions about it. But essentially, we're looking for the $575,000 to be funded, $400,000 out of the water utility, and $175,000 out of the REIT 2 funds.
Question from council. Councilmember Watson.
Thank you. I appreciate you bringing this forward. I was the one who had the question. So I guess, Circa, for water utility fund, if you're going to take the $400,000 from the water utility, you're taking that from the $840,000 that's left after debt service, is that what we're saying?
That is correct.
Okay.
And, of course, we don't know exactly what we're getting.
What we're
I don't have the numbers for the budget on the revenues currently. But, yeah, that's kind of a simplistic look at it.
Okay. And that, and the 618, that's what we have right now sitting in REIT 2?
Correct. That's what we have right now, and our budget for the revenues is $275,000. And we don't have that much coming out. Again, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but we don't have that much that expenditures coming out in 2017 out of REIT 2. The debt service is out of REIT 1, so that's pretty limited.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. I do feel more comfortable seeing the numbers. I do appreciate that very much. because I couldn't remember how much we had in REAP 2, so thank
you. And just to let you know, in 2016, our budget was $275,000, and we did receive $325,000.
Okay. So we've been very conservative with our budget.
Exactly.
Again.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you both. Questions? I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Council, what's your pleasure this evening?
Okay.
Councilmember Watson.
I will move to approve the bid award and consultant agreement for Shopwell number 2.
Second. Moved by Councilmember Watson and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to approve the contract on Shopwell number 2. Any questions, comments? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion has passed and the bid shall be awarded.
Thank you,
Mr. Wren.
Thank you so much.
We'll wait here for the results.
You'll see it go shooting up. Is that not how it works?
3 months.
Oh, wow, 3 months.
Yeah, the well drilling project is anticipated to take. If we do go 2,000-foot depth, it's anticipated that the project itself, the drilling, will take approximately 3 months to complete. So I can come back and provide updates as we go. I believe that the well driller, when we met out on site to discuss the project with them after we had opened bids, the well driller was saying that if they were able to achieve 50 foot a day, that was a good day, but typically around 35 foot a day was what they were anticipating. So we're going to be limiting their hours of operation to 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then limiting the time within that they can drive well casing. There's the cable tool method of drilling that they're going to utilize is they have the casing down and they repeatedly drop a cutter head onto the working surface below grade, pulverizing the rock, and then go in and pull out the spoils from that and deposit them in a trough that is then hauled off site. So there's some thumping that's associated with the well while they're doing that decreases as you get down to deeper depths. But then when they need to advance the casing, they have to pound the casing into the ground. So they'll go, it's originally going to be a 12-inch casing, they'll neck down to a smaller casing as they get to a deeper depth. So there's going to be some noise associated with it. I'd like to apologize in advance to everybody on Lego. But
is it going to bang for 8 hours? I mean, boom, boom,
no,
boom,
they're boom. They're going to be it goes like they'll actually do the drill operation for a while, and that'll and I can't give you concrete times for it, but let's say they're going to drill for an hour and then they'll drive the casing down and then drill for an hour and then drive the casing down. So it's not a rotary drill but an impact drill.
But I'm assuming they wouldn't do it at 10 o'clock at night.
No, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. are the times that they're limited to. And then within that, there's a truncated period of time that they're able to drive the casings. And the driving the casing is the noisiest portion of the project. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and limit that down. But with the well drillers on site, in order to keep it to that 3-month time span, not stretch it out to 6 months, we need to keep them productive and allow them, you know, a fairly good window of opportunity to be able to do that. It's anticipated that when you're inside, it's not going to be too impactful, but the people that are walking by the sidewalk are probably going to be kind of annoyed by it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Going on to item I, Planning Commission appointment. As Council knows, this is more for the audience. When there's an opening on the Planning Commission, the Mayor brings qualified candidates. I am bringing one this evening. Connie Ferry is my candidate this evening for the Planning Commission. Well-qualified. Former city council member. She's been attending council meetings. She's ready to hit the ground running. She has my enthusiastic support. And I think Councilmember Bursch had the first question. Councilmember Bursch.
I met her at the Chamber Awards banquet, and this was prior to her application coming before us. And I was really impressed. She loves Ferndale. I'm ready to appoint a candidate for the Planning Commission. I'm done with going through over and over, bringing it before us. The emails and the letters that I received in the past 2 weeks, people are ready for us to appoint somebody to that position, and I think that we as council should be ready to appoint her for this position.
Would you like to make that into a motion?
I would. I might make the motion that we approve her for Planning Commissioner.
Looking for a second.
Second.
It was moved by Councilmember Bursch and seconded by Councilmember Czar to approve the
appointment to the Planning Commission of Connie Ferrier. She is here if you have any questions of Ms. Ferrier, as with her husband. Any questions from council? Right, Councilmember Watson.
Just a statement. I do feel bad about Mr. Krim because it wasn't Mr. Krim's fault that we got to this position. Obviously, we're going to probably move forward with this. I will be voting no because I'm still unhappy with what you did. And I know, but I don't want to keep talking about it either. I want Connie to understand why I'm voting no, and I also want Mr. Krim to understand that this wasn't his fault, and it's unfortunate.
Councilmember Wilson.
I'm the same way, Connie, so just to let you know. We do have one other, because it's nothing against Connie, but you're penalizing Mr. Krim for something he had nothing to do with. He actually got sandbagged. So we do still have available a city clerk. Can a motion of reconsideration be made?
We already have a motion on the floor.
There's a motion on the floor. And this is the candidate the mayor is bringing. I'm not sure what a reconsideration vote would be about.
To bring back Mr. Krim. So who was your first choice?
You could reconsider the vote of Mr. Krim.
I'm puzzled why someone didn't talk to me about that, if that was in the works. So this is my candidate this evening.
Do I have a second?
Any other comments from council? Council Member Hansen.
I share the sentiment. I've expressed my frustration with the situation before, and I think it bears saying again that we had a gentleman who had stepped forward, somebody who hadn't volunteered their time for the city, somebody who expressed their willingness to step up, add their expertise to the Planning Commission, and this gentleman who has been kind of set aside. When we struggle so hard to have qualified volunteers for our boards and our committees, and then we take somebody who is of Mr. Krim's caliber, and we choose to set him aside, I think that's frustrating for me. I will reluctantly vote for Ms. Faria, not because of her, but because I'm frustrated with the situation. I think that we lost a really, really good candidate and somebody who would have been a great asset to the city.
And there's always a future. And I do appreciate council's support on this. Are you ready for the question? Councilmember Goodrich.
As I stated in the past, I was very displeased with your actions, Mr. Mayor, in the regards. But I am going to go ahead and vote for Connie to be I'm kind of going along with Councilmember Bursch. Let's get old. It's done. It's not going to change. I don't know if you're going to change, but I don't think the Planning Commission needs to suffer any more over this. And so I am reluctantly going to support, not to you, Connie. It's more about the mayor and his actions.
Ready for the question. All in favor of approving the commissioner appointment of Connie Ferrer, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
The appointment has passed with Council Members Watson and Olson declining the appointment. We are at the end of the meeting, folks, and I think we've done pretty well. Mrs. Goldsmith, a little bit outside the bounds, but you're always welcome.
Well, if the streets would have been my driveway a little clearer, I might have made it on time. I'm here tonight. First of all, Yvonne Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road. Okay. I just want to thank one of Ferndale's shining stars, Mr. Jim Slater, I believe is his name. He's from Public Works.
Slaughter.
Okay. Bless his heart. Anyway, he stopped and helped my husband dig out our driveway today. And I think I know this is like once in 10 years. I think the last time we had snow like this was 10 years ago. And when you have senior citizens, and I have to admit that I'm one along with my husband, and several others, and their driveways get plowed in to where it's up to like that, and you cannot, I don't care how hard I tried to rip that van out of that garage to bust through, it just didn't work. Thank God for Mr. Slaughter. He stopped and he helped my husband dig out. And thank you to Councilwoman Watson and Bursch and Olson, because y'all replied to me in my email. But it was so nice to have him stop by and help my husband. Jeannie's had 5 bypasses at one time, and I think digging out of these berms is pretty risky. And I don't know, I know in the county, you can put something up by your driveway, and they won't plow you in, they turn the blade another way, and then they start after the driveway. And my driveway is huge. But I don't know if there's some way we can mark it, so we at least get a car length, not plowed in. Okay? I want that kind of thought about. And hopefully it'll be another 10 years before we get another one of these storms. Okay? And only one other thing that I'd like to say. Thank you for voting for the planning commissioner. I know Connie, she'll do a great job. And I think the other gentleman would have too. And number 3, I cannot imagine Ferndale with a wee Riley running around. But congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Goldsmith. Going on to mayor reports, the mayor has none tonight. Council reports. Councilmember Goodrich.
As some of you saw on Facebook, we have purchased a home down in Chehalis. We took possession of it already. I am going to be moving down there sometime later this year. I know I have my council commitments, and so I'm going to probably be living sometime here, a week or so, a month down there, get the house. There's a lot of stuff that the other place needs inside before we even think about putting our place for sale up here. We're talking months and stuff, and we've got a couple of trips planned in there too, cruising the Pacific again. I just wanted to make it a public thing that I am definitely not running for re-election, and I will be leaving the city of Ferndale in this wind tunnel sometime later this year.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Olson.
I thought I'd give everybody an update on the jail. This was supposed to be finished the end of last month. Bellingham is dragging their feet constantly with everything, arguing about their percentage of use of the jail, which somehow they've managed to get from 28% to 17%. And as of the last meeting, they wanted even more reduction because they accused the jail of, if 3 cities have them, people in there, we're each getting charged a day for that person. And so the ridiculousness of this is getting way out of hand. I don't know what's going to happen with the agreement. The way the county council set this commission up, where the small cities are doomed. Bellingham has 5 or 6 reps. County has 5 or 6 reps. Small cities has 2 reps. And this is all done on a vote thing. And their argument is those 2 are the bigger users, so therefore they should have more votes. I'm sure Mrs. Clinton would have loved that one. But the other sticking point is Bellingham wants a jail alternatives charge tacked on to misdemeanors, not felons, for some reason not on that one, which they say will increase, which Ferndale's portion will raise $15,000. Well, we all know Ferndale's portion of fines is, we don't get any of that. So we would be on the hook for yet another $15,000 to our jail bill just to appease Bellingham and their insistence on jail alternatives. That was not negotiated amongst the committee as a whole, but by a smaller committee who said that they didn't have to negotiate this with us. And that in fact, it was discussed, and these are Scott Corthus's words, it was discussed at a council of government meetings with the mayors, and that the mayors had agreed to it. And I said, that can't be, because the mayor doesn't make the mayor gets to sign the agreement, the council gets to approve it. So, do you know?
I was gone from the last meeting, that particular meeting.
Okay, well, I'll refresh his memory. Maybe he wasn't aware of that. But anyway, so we have two more meetings this month, one on the 9th and then one on the 23rd. Jack Lyles wanted this by February so that he could get it in the chute to have it approved by the county council, the bond writers, and everybody for the November ballot. But it's not looking good.
Can I say something? I'm especially pleased that Councilmember Olson agreed to take this liaison position. It was Councilmember Olson that brought attention to this council newspaper article about 8 months ago that the commission was going to underrepresent the small cities. So the mayors, small mayors got to get together at Small Cities Caucus and said, we don't think this is right. We wanted to have a second mayor, two mayors. They were going to allow one mayor to be on this commission. The county council said, well, let's have a mayor and a council member. So I couldn't think of a better council member than Councilmember Olson. So thank you for representing us. So all kind of comes around, and I appreciate you stepping forward there.
Quick question for Keith then. So are they still looking at putting something on the ballot about sales tax? Or are they? Because Bellingham's been pushing for property tax.
They have finally come to the – well, you still have – the mayor, Kelly Linville, is okay with sales tax. You still have a lot of council members who are mad on sales tax.
Bellingham council members.
So far, though, it's been the consensus was overridden from property tax to sales tax. But I don't know. It changes every time. It depends on who wants to complain about something else.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Council? Council reports. Councilman Watson.
Just so you know, because of the weather, the other bank and the Resource Center will both be closed tomorrow.
Fair enough.
The other bank is always open on Tuesday, but the weather's just too bad for them to get down the hill, so they're going to be closed.
And since the subject of snow came up, thank you to your staff for doing a great job, like Mrs. Goldsmith said during the week. Fantastic. Other council reports, staff reports. Mr. Burnett. Mr. Rentz.
I do just want to say a thank you to the Public Works crew. They've been out working 24 hours a day, working the weekend, getting the streets cleared. And I know that, you know, I came from Bellingham this morning and can attest to the fact that our streets were in much, much better condition than Bellingham streets were.
Of course.
And it's a testament to our crew and their dedication to the street clearing. So I just want to say thank you to them.
Our Finance Director, Salmonen, Communications Officer, Special Project Officer, Mr. Sweeney.
I just wanted to give a big thank you to everybody who participated in our Ferndale Parks Activities Survey. If there's those of you in this room who haven't, it's live for another 24 hours. So please go onto the city website and fill out what sort of events you'd like us to sponsor, because we can't give you what you want unless you tell us.
And our city clerk, Susan Duncan.
Nothing.
And Mr. Turner, we typically, last person we look back to the chief of police, any reports? Probably not.
No, sir, thank you.
Thank you very much. I would be looking for a motion to dismiss.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to dismiss our meeting tonight. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Drive carefully.